If you brought your Bible, I hope you did. Turn with me to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. We will look at verse 4 today, but I want us to read the entire text as we have thus far throughout this entire series. Psalm 23. While you're turning, thank you so much for the wonderful comments. It's blessed my heart this week for so many of you sent emails and notes and voicemails and commenting on the message and how the message series, the word is speaking to you, not me, but the word is speaking to you this week and throughout these last several weeks through this wonderful series. Thank you. For those of you that had negative comments, we thank you for keeping those to yourself. I sure appreciate that as well, equally. If you've got negative comments, you just keep them to yourself. Or if you'd like to give those, it's Ben at First Baptist Church, Fairburn. No, just kidding. And the 11 o'clock train's coming through. Say amen. Glad to have him through, right? Boy, he's moving awfully fast. Psalms 23, if you would. Psalms 23, the first six verses. Read along with me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. Father God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight today. Father, thank you for your word. It never returns void. Thank you for the opportunity to unpack your word today. And as we study your word today, I pray that we walk away from this place completely different than when we came. I pray, Father, your word convicts us in such a way that we will surrender to your lordship today, Lord Father. And we ask you to just remove any obstacles standing in the way from us experiencing you in this worship gathering together today, experiencing your grace, your mercy. And Father, I pray that we adhere to your calling today. I pray, Father, that you comfort us with your word today as we unpack today the prescription for walking through the dark valleys of life. Father, I pray that we find comfort in your word today. Lord, we thank you. We praise you for what you're doing in the life of this church. Thank you for what you're doing in the life of this transition period. Thank you for the blessing, as I've said time and time again, that Debbie and I have to serve this congregation. What a joy it is for us. And Father, I pray that you give us clarity, direction, and Father, a quick missional vision to reach this community that will stamp our place here as a saving station, as an equipping center, as a sending church to reach the nations from this location. Father, we love you. And we praise you and thank you for what you're about to do in this place today. And we give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. In Jesus' name we pray, and the church said, amen. If you have your worship folder, you have that outline in there. And I have some statements for you. The message truth, life is a mixture of pain and pleasure, of victory and defeat, of success and failure, of mountaintops and valleys. Even in our darkest valleys, our darkest days, God is there. Can I get an amen to that? God is there in the deepest and the darkest of valleys. There's an old Arab parable that says, all sunshine and no rains makes for a desert. If you never have any downtime, if you never have any dark times or any gloomy times in your life, you will be dried up at some point in time. You'll have no depth to yourself, no maturity. It takes the good and the bad to make us a mature Christ follower. It takes both to make us a mature Christ follower. In Israel, there is indeed a real valley of the shadow of death. It is very steep. steep. It is very narrow and very steep. I've not put personal eyes on it, but I have friends who have actually seen this particular area. The Valley of the Shadow of Death, it is steep. The walls are very steep, and it's very narrow at the bottom of that valley. And the only time that there's light at the bottom of that valley is when the sun is at high noon, right over the top of it. And so this is probably the area that David was shepherding his sheep through this particular valley when the inspiration came to him as he wrote this. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. The Bible gives us terms. The term valley also refers to the rough times in our lives. Joshua talks about the valley of calamity. Psalms 84 talks about the valley of weeping. Hosea talks about the valley of trouble. In the book of Hebrews, the word valley actually means the valley of deep darkness. Folks, let me tell you something. Valleys are not a bad place. The one thing I love about valleys are there is an opening and there's an ending to it. It's not closed in. You can go through it just like a tunnel, walking through the valley of the shadow of death. I have two parts to this message today. At two parts, I want us to understand that we need to remember what to do and how to operate when we are in the deepest, darkest of valleys. There are five things that we need to remember. If you want to jot these down, they're in your worship folder. Fill in the blanks. Valleys are inevitable. They're going to happen. Valleys are going to happen. Count on it, brothers and sisters. They're going to happen in life. Either you are coming out of a valley, or you are now in a valley, or you're about to head into a valley. Regardless, you and I can count on that valleys will happen at some point in our life. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when they happen. They're going to happen. So they are inevitable. Some of us will go through sufferings and sorrows and sickness, times of frustration and failure and fatigue. It's going to happen. It's a part of normal daily life. Don't be surprised by it. Valleys are inevitable. I love what the word says. I want us to back that principle up with John chapter 16, verse 33 says, in the world you will, Jesus said, you'll have what? Trouble. You're going to have it. So count on it. If we can identify that, knowing that we're going to go through some of these scenarios, we can deal with it. Valleys are inevitable. Secondly, valleys are unpredictable. They're unpredictable. You can never plan on that. You can't put it out on a spreadsheet, make a pie graph of it. You can't just say, okay, this is when this is going to happen. We know at this particular point in time it's going to happen. They are totally unpredictable. They come at the most inappropriate times, the worst time in our lives sometimes. When we don't expect it, that's when they happen. We never set aside time for it, nor are we prepared for it. They usually just happen to us, and he hit us right in the face. Valleys come to us suddenly. Notice how a great day can change when you get a phone call from a result of a test from your doctor. You get some kind of bad result. You were thinking, oh, it's just a routine checkup. And then you get some kind of awful response from the doctor that tells you that it's not as good as you thought. Appointments reveal bad news, freak accidents, valleys happen. I kind of went through a small valley this morning. Small valley. I was going to come over early this morning because I want to get as early as possible because I want to hear Ben and all the kids and all the stuff about Snowbird. I want to come over. And my normal route coming from my house is Highway 119. I live off Highway 119. Cross over 280, head towards the backside of Leeds, Alabama, get out on the interstate, and then I'm there. It's a quick way. It's a two-lane road. It's snaky by Lake Purdy. It's over snaky little road, small shoulders. And somewhere along the way, somebody decided to have an automobile accident. And when they had an automobile accident, they just decided not only to have the accident, John, but they left their vehicle sitting in the middle of a two-lane road. Therefore, I had to turn all the way around and go all the way back to 280, go all the way down to 459, get on the interstate, go all the way back around there. Thus, took me off my course about 30, 45 minutes. Folks, I hit some valleys. Did I panic? No, I just stopped and got more coffee. Hallelujah. Amen. You see, valleys are unpredictable. You don't know when they're going to happen. Jeremiah 4 verse 20 says, disaster follows disaster. In an instant, my tenants are destroyed. My shelter falls in a moment. So valleys are inevitable. Valleys are unpredictable. Valleys are impartial. They are impartial. Matthew 5, verse 45. It rains on the just and the unjust too. They are unpredictable. They are impartial. No one is immune to it. Good people and bad people go through trials and tribulations of life. Why? I wonder why good people have to go through that. Why don't you just let the bad people go through the trials and tribulations, right? You see, that shores us up. It strengthens us when we good people are the ones who think we're good. We're going through those. It is impartial. Valleys are impartial to everyone. Disaster happens to everybody. Disaster happens to good people and to bad people. Tragedies happen to every one of us. It rains on the just and the unjust. They are impartial. Not only are they inevitable, unpredictable, impartial, but valleys are temporary. They're temporary. They really are. Listen to what the word says. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. There is a wonderful joy ahead, even though the going is rough for a while down here. Folks, let me tell you something. Most of us live 80, 90 years old. That's the age we're getting older. We're living longer. We live here 80, 90 years. That's really a nanosecond compared to all of eternity, right? When you really think about it, that is such a short span of time when we live in 80 to 90 years, but we'll live the rest of our lives, those of us that are Christ followers, we'll live the rest of our lives in the presence of our Father, worshiping Him. So folks, let me tell you something. The valleys that we go through are temporary. They're temporary. We don't have to fret them. They have an end to them. They don't last forever. It's not a permanent location. Psalms 23, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. I walk, the key word is through the valley of the shadow of death. I fear no evil, for thou art with me. There's no dead end. It has a beginning and it has an end. It's like a tunnel. Eventually you are going to be out of it and back into the light again. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7 says, at the present you may be temporarily harassed by all kinds of trials. This is no accident, Phillips translation says. It happens to prove your faith. So valleys are inevitable. Valleys are unpredictable. They're impartial. Valleys are temporary, but valleys also have purpose. They're purposeful. God has a reason for taking us through the valley, whether it's doubt or depression or despair or discouragement or defeat. He has a good reason behind each and every one of them. I tweeted this last night or yesterday sometime and blasted it out on social media. Joy is on the mountaintop, but faith is built in the valleys. Joy is on the mountain. How many of y'all been to a mountaintop experience? Boy, you just been to one of those worship gatherings where you just had an amazing time, or maybe back in the day you went to some form of youth camp, or maybe back in the day some crusade or revival or church service or some kind of joyous moment took place in your life. Maybe it was way back when you got married and you got excited about that and you've kind of lost the joy of that, but that moment was exhilarating at moment, you know, but maybe you had this joy, this spiritual moment, and then you got back to reality. You came back to Georgia and you came back down to work and got into the muck and the mire of daily living and you got discouraged again, right? Folks, let me tell you something. They're purposeful. They help you. Valleys are where faith is built. He wants to make you and I like Him. He wants us to develop the character within our own lives, but He must allow us to go through the deepest, darkest times sometimes to grow that faith. He needs us to go through those circumstances. He took Jesus through them to give us a guide that we might follow as well. So valleys are purposeful. That's what we need to remember when we are in the midst of the valleys of life. So how does that lead us? Where does that lead us? How do we move forward from there? First of all, what do? We need to refuse to be discouraged. Now, church, gather in here close. That's not help, happiness, and prosperity. It's name it and claim it theology. We need to just lock in and say, you know what? My shepherd, the good shepherd, is leading me through this. He is protecting me. He's guiding me. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Here it is. For you, Lord Jesus, are with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. You see, even though we're going through the deepest and darkest of times, refuse to be discouraged. Discouragement is always a choice. We choose to be discouraged. Now, we can get frustrated and down a little bit and discouraged a little bit, but we don't need to stay there and wallow in it. We choose to stay there by choosing to focus on God's grace and his power rather on our problems is the way that we get through that. Colossians chapter 1 verse 11 says, God will strengthen you with his own great power so that you will not give up when trouble comes, but you will be patient. Psalms 34 verse 18, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and he saved those who are crushed in spirit. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Folks, let me tell you something. We choose to be discouraged. I choose to refuse to be discouraged. That's how we get through it. Refuse to be discouraged. Secondly, we need to remember that God is with us. Remember that. You say, well, wait a minute, I know that's very elementary. Well, sometimes the most elementary of things we forget. We forget how powerful and how mighty God is. And we forget that he walks us through these. He knows exactly where we are. God not only promises his power in the valley, he promises his presence in the valley. Notice the language changed from third person to second person. He guides me, talking about God. Second person pronouns, you are with me, your rod, your staff, now talking to God. He's talking about him in the first way, and then all of a sudden he changes the language, talking to him. Him, saying, you are with me. It is the valleys of light that brings us face to face with God. When we are in the deepest, darkest of valleys, those Christ followers call out to the Lord. What are we doing? We're getting face to face with God. You are with me. Refuse to be discouraged. Remember that God is with you. All of a sudden, the ultimate becomes the intimate. A religious experience becomes a relationship with a heavenly and gracious God. Closer to God when we face the toughest and the roughest of times in our life. When we're going through the deepest, darkest of valleys. When we call upon him, his name, that's when we sense his presence even more. I love Isaiah 43 verse 2. Listen to what it says. When you go through the deep waters and great trouble, I will be with you. Folks, that's not hope. That's a promise. That is a fact. If you're a Christ follower in this room, regardless of the deepest of darkest of valleys, as a church collectively, regardless of the deepest, darkest valleys that we might go through, where we feel like that he has left us and forsaken us, folks, let me tell you something, he has not. He will never leave us, nor will he forsake us. He says, I will be with you. When you go through the deepest rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fires of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. That ought to have gotten an amen from somebody. Rely, remember, refuse to be discouraged. Remember that God is with you. And third and finally, rely on God's protection and his guidance. When we surrender to his lordship, we're saying to ourselves, we're saying to God, we can't do this on our own. We are surrendering to your lordship, your direction, your protection in our lives. David is reminding himself that God's rod and his staff comforts him and guides him through the difficult times. It is the basic tool of the shepherd, is the rod and the staff. They're very skilled with them. On one end, it has a hook. On the bottom end of it has a big knot, and then he can whack them things away. The hook is to grab that sheep back and pull him back into line with the rest of the flock, gently reminding us. Now, sometimes God doesn't gently remind us, does he? Sometimes he has to smack us around a little bit. Amen? How many of y'all gone through that in your life? Say amen. If you haven't, I pray you do. Because it's not fun, but it'll grow you. Amen? Every one of us that are Christ followers, we go through those times. Why? Because we need those. We need to be reminded that his presence and his protection and his guidance is there. Folks, gather in and shout with me that we have a God that loves us that much. He says, I will walk with you. I will guide you. I will protect you. I am with you every step of the way. I called Miss Cassie yesterday. There she lay at Grady Hospital having a stroke. I call her. She's talked a little bit with a slur, expected, but she said, I'm going to be great. Why? Miss Cassie knows. Why? Because God is with Miss Cassie. Amen. He walking all the way through the discouragement and despair, walking every step of the way. God is with us, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I fear no evil, for your rod, your staff is with me. Folks, let me tell you something. We do not need to fear any longer. We need to throw away the old t-shirt that says, fear not. We should have a shirt that says, fear not, not I'm fearful. We should wear those in pride. Shadows or something are always bigger in reality. Shadows cannot hurt you. Where there is no shadow, there's got to be light somewhere to have a shadow. You cannot have a shadow without a light behind it. And the light is King Jesus. The good man does not escape all troubles, Psalms 34. He has them too. But the Lord helps him in each and every one. So refuse to be discouraged. Remember that God is with us and rely on his protection and his guidance. The last statement in your worship guide there I printed for you. Believers and non-believers go through the same valleys of life. The difference for the Christian is not the absence of the shadow, but the presence of the shepherd. God is with you. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me.